I was setting this off at the top saying this is such a weird off season, such a weird start to the year where it's supposed to feel fresh. It's supposed to feel like you're turning a page, and yet it doesn't. It doesn't feel that way yet. And I wonder if you feel like it ever will during the regular season.
That's a great point, man. I was saying in my Leaf season preview, I was like, listen, we got to get over it. Should we get over it? I don't know. Probably not. But like, we can't go through life like this. Like we just gotta, as Leaf fans, we gotta live this thing one game at a time, a quarter mile at a time, Vin Diesel style. Because like if they win in October, we gotta cheer in October. If they win in November, we gotta cheer in November. One thing from last season and also the Amazon doc. I'm going to be paying a little bit closer attention to process because I know one thing the team really wanted, they could score goals, no problem, but I want to see playoff style goals. I want to see if the guys who were here last year can do it. And I want to see if the guys who they brought in score those types of goals like a Bunting or a Richie can do it.
So the irony in all this is that they're coming off of two shortened seasons, and now it just, but like even last year, it's like now it feels like just an actual longer season, especially when they inserted a television show during the offseason. They're like, do you want to also relive this right now? Yeah, it has felt like everything is the same. And I like that you said that about process and caring about the process. Last year, part of the reason I guess I'm optimistic about this one is I believe in what they did defensively as a group. And a lot of people are going to say that it's a byproduct of being in the North Division, but if there's one thing the North Division had, it was firepower, and the Leafs did a really good job at keeping the puck out of their own net. They drastically improved there. I just don't know how you could watch that team and be halfway fair about it, not just at least acknowledge it. It was a big part of the year. And when you're looking at this one, is there someone or something that you're particularly invested in when it comes to process?
Everyone wants a cute answer to that. Like, oh, man. Bunting, he's going to challenge for the Calder. He's going to be the straw that stirs the drink.
We already said no to that one.
Yeah, no, it's Matthews and Marner, man. Like, I know Matthews is out for a little bit, but he'll be back and he'll be fine. Like, I'm not worried about him. He played all of last year with a bum wrist and he led the league in goals by 8. But it's those two. They had a great regular season last year, and then the team did great in the regular season. They didn't have a good playoffs. The team lost in the playoffs. As they go, the Leafs go. I am also like pretty excited or interested in how this goalie tandem works out because I was looking at Carolina. They got Freddie, they got Ranta, who, you know, two often injured goalies. They only played a combined 36 games last year, and I was like, what was Carolina thinking? And then I looked at Campbell and Mrazek, and they only played 34. So I'm a little worried about how that's going to work out. On defense, I'm not worried at all. I kind of want to see Liljegren finally get his opportunity without 7 D-men in the lineup.
Steve, what's up, buddy? My old co-host. NHL chat room. Do you miss NHL chat room?
Of course I do.
We're going to bring it back.
I was talking to someone who was like, oh yeah, Ailish, we had that show. She's awesome. Like I was explaining the new morning show setup. I was like, oh, she's so great. And I was like, and I've never met her.
Yeah, that's like, also true.
COVID's the worst. One day we're going to meet up and I'll go out with all you guys
Sounds good.
I don't know, late night drinks for morning show host wins that noon.
I think you get one, Blake and I discussed this, you get one bullet a week. You can do one a week where you go out for drinks on a weekday, but then it's like the days of old JD being the after work beers guy on a regular basis. Those have come and gone, my friend, which is sad.
We can go for a nice coffee with a Bailey's. That's about it. Anyway, let's get on track. So we were talking about pressure this upcoming season. Obviously everyone's feeling it, but you know, we kind of narrowed it down to Dubas and Marner kind of feeling a lot of pressure, but I'm curious on your perspective, who outside of those two you think has the most pressure on them this upcoming season?
Well, Jack Campbell, he's never really been in this position. Not since he was like with the U.S. Development Program. I think it's hard to be the Leafs goalie, frankly. A lot is always expected of you. There haven't been too many seasons in my lifetime where it's like, it doesn't matter who's in net, they're fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm also going to say Morgan Rielly. There's a pretty solid opportunity solid chance that this is his last year in Toronto. This is the team that drafted him, and you know, business is business. But I think it would mean a lot to him to win here before he moves on, or winning here might help him decide to not move on. But I can't envision a scenario where the team does nothing and he stays. So I think there's a lot of pressure there.
You know what you just touched on though too is that, and I know that a lot of sports fans hate to hear this, but it's very, very, very going to quickly, I don't want to say devolve, but contracts are going to become a major story this season. Like you talked about Campbell, that he performs well, and we're starting to discuss how much he's getting paid the following season. Mikheyev comes back, provides something that they were missing. We're going to be talking about that. Morgan Rielly, it's going to be debated and discussed all season long whether or not it was the right move to let him enter this season in this uniform mm-hmm. without a contract beyond it. And that's not even before we get to Rasmus Sandin, who is going to need a new deal. And if he's as good as we think he might be, well, there's some comparables that would tell you that's going to come at a pretty healthy cost. In fact, you might get Morgan Rielly off the books and have to replace him with that exact same number immediately with Rasmus Sandin. So, yeah, contract talk is actually going to be, I think it's still going to be really hot. I think that there's going to be a lot of it, and I think it's going to be almost a little bit annoying because that's something we've always had to do whenever we discuss this team.
The salary cap ruins everything, man. Like hockey Twitter the other day, Mika Zibanejad signs his deal, and people are like, oh, I don't know about that for Mika Zibanejad. What? Like, we're all concerned about a contract for one of the best goal scorers in the sport? That shouldn't be how we look at it. Mm-hmm. It just shouldn't be how we look at it. And, I mean, it's every conversation with the Leafs and has been for, I don't know, like 3 years now. It's the one thing we have with this squad that goes to pre-COVID. Gotta love a tradition.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Hey, excellent, dude. How about you?
I'm good, man. First, Ailish got her goofy chat room question in, so I'm curious what, this is not related to the Leafs necessarily, but say everything goes well this year. They make the run to the cup or deep into the playoffs everyone's hoping for. We getting a second book out of you or what?
I definitely thought this was going to be a question about professional wrestling when you started there. And I was like, Adam Cole, baby. I'm excited about it and everything.
Hey, look, this is good to know that you're an Adam Cole guy. Next time you come on, we'll play you in with his excellent AEW theme music.
Oh, let's go. Yes, I would love that. To answer your question, I was getting lots of questions about the book, and I'm like, well, the first book was about me, and I haven't lived enough life yet. So
this one could be about Leo.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well,
young Leo's life as a Leafs fan.
Yeah, the entire process of passing all of this on and passing all of your Leafs trauma on down the line.
All I would say to him is like, hey, Leo, you like the house that you live in? That's all from my trauma, so enjoy it. You like that baby food that you eat? That's all from my trauma. So
only the finest baby foods, too. Those are trauma-fed babies.
It is worth it.
Did you know they made caviar for babies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just learned that this past year. It's amazing. Well, yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it's it's going to be a book about a man torn between his fandom and wanting to be a good father. Like, I want him to enjoy the same things I do, but I also don't want him to suffer. It's going to be great.
So it's always risky when you say these things, but one of my biggest positive spins of this year is it can't be worse. It really can't. Even if they come in and they completely bomb, they miss the playoffs, that's fine. There's actually more sense of what the direction is going to be. Even if they get into the playoffs, it's hard to envision that they're up 3-1 again against the one team you don't want to blow a 3-1 lead to more than anyone else in the Montreal Canadiens. Like, you infinity take any other scenario over what happened last year, especially considering the stakes of it all, right? So to me, it's kind of a positive is that these guys won. they, in a way, get to play a little bit more loose, I would imagine, knowing that it can't get worse, knowing that they already sort of had hit their rock bottom, right? That there's nowhere to go but up from here. But secondarily, that it's really hard to ignore your coach who gave you warning signs about the potential of your collapse when essentially he predicts what is going to happen with you and your group. Do you view this similarly, or are you someone who thinks that, like, the team having to carry all this stuff from the lack of separation between one season and the next as a negative?
No, I think it's a good thing, right? Like, one thing that was good from that documentary is, I mean, geez, it's not like they're spoiled brats who don't care. Like, these guys were devastated, you know, more devastated than any fan watching at home. And I think it got their attention. Mm-hmm. Babs is standing in our way and he won't play me and he won't do this, won't do that. Now it's been a few years and the common denominator is you guys. And we've put a lot of pressure on these guys really early in their lives, but it's a business. You know, that's, to borrow a line from Don Draper, that's what the money is for. Mm-hmm. Win. Mm-hmm. Just win. And I think they're going to be determined to get over the hump.
I just think that everyone is kind of in their right spots now. The fans are back into a place where they're expecting the worst, and optimism is not running super high. Expectations being lower, I think, is going to be a good thing for this group. This team now no longer has a... one of the things that always bothered me about this Leafs young core is it was one thing to be excited, and it's one thing to be happy that they're talented. And it's something that we were referencing earlier, just how if you're asking these guys to carry the weight of not winning since 1967, then you should at least acknowledge that coming into this year, there is way more reason to be optimistic about their chances of winning than the vast majority of your life watching this team, especially post-cap era. But there's not this kind of, hey, here's all the love all at once, despite not having won anything yet, that you actually have to sort of go out and earn that. You have to kind of go out and get your stripes now. And I like that for the players. I just think that there is a very good, or that there can be a very, very good byproduct from this, which is, yeah, Leafs fans are back to being who they are, and Leafs players can kind of be who they should be. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think there's going to be a real initial love fest having fans back in the building. And, oh, sure. Hey, this is cool. Like especially if they win tonight.
I was going to say, until they boo Marner if he goes pointless through three games or something like that. But, yes.
Oh, God, I hope not, man. But, like, with the fans in the building for the preseason, you sort of get a mood. You sort of get connected to the collective. Mm-hmm. So, like, Mikheyev got a breakaway, and I think it was that last game against the Sens. And you feel the electricity in the building. Oh, my God, he's going to bury it. We need him to bury it. Then he misses, and everyone just goes, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Of course he missed it. So I think there will be a little love fest there, but the fans are going to let him know pretty fast.